the pressure and the moment made it so much more fun for me. It was just having that opportunity to kind of see it that way, even though like there's probably teams that were going to absolutely destroy us and teams we were going to absolutely destroy it. I always treated it like a big game.
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon, and this is the show 100% dedicated to the lacrosse goalie. Maybe a biased opinion, but what I would call the best position in sports. On this show, my job's really simple. It's track down any goalie, any coach, any trainer who can share with us their knowledge to make us better lacrosse goalies. My goal with each show is that you pick out a thing or two, hopefully at least one thing that you can take with you out to the field in the goal of becoming a better, a more confident lacrosse goalie. My guest on the show this week is Southern California, coming out of Southern California, Brian McCarthy. Brian's a high school lacrosse coach, private instructor of goalies, a trainer in athletics. Really a great guy. Great guy. Brings a lot of positive energy to the conversation. Trains goalies, very knowledgeable in the position. Unfortunately, the audio does cut out at a few moments in this podcast, so you're going to have to stick with us, but it is a great conversation. So, ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy this one with Coach Mac. It's Brian McCarthy. Before we begin this episode, I want to tell you about a really awesome training opportunity for your youth lacrosse goalie. It's called the College Goalie Training Packs, and let me tell you a little about it. So last season, the NCAA allowed college athletes to sign sponsorship deals, and it was really a game changer for college athletes as they could now make money using their name, image, and likeness, something they call NIL. And so, of course, this season, I've signed 17 goalies, 17. We've got 8 on the men's side, 9 on the women's side, and each of these college goalies is putting together a really amazing virtual coaching experience for your youth lacrosse goalie. So how cool is that? That your youth goalie could get mentoring and direct coaching from their college heroes. This is exactly what I wanted when I was learning this position. So each goalie, like I said, putting together a training pack, and it's going to have things like an instructional video series. So this is them out at the field teaching us drills, tips, showing us techniques, things that they use in their game. It's going to have a virtual coaching webinar. So they've put together, you know, 1 hour presentation that you'll be invited to on a different topic of the lacrosse goalie position. It's going to have a live Q&A. So your young goalie can show up live and ask these goalies questions face to face. It's going to have save breakdowns. So I sit down with the college goalie and we watch plays from their college games and talk through them. Awesome learning tool. And finally, you get access to direct message or to email these college goalies so you can establish a little bit of a relationship and get a little bit of mentoring. Okay. So each of the college goalies training pack is going to be priced at under 60 bucks, which is insanely cheap if you ask me for all that training. And if you want to get the girls packs or you want to get all of the boys packs or even the entire bundle, we've got some fat discounts for that as well. The coolest part of all of this is because of the NIL deal, we're partners in this. So the money's going to go directly to these starving college kids. Well, I don't know if they're starving. I guess they feed the D1 athletes, but you get the idea. Your youth lacrosse goalie gets the training. These college goalies have put in a ton of work on this training. I've seen the product, and it is amazing. Your youth goalie gets the help. They get financially rewarded. It's really a win-win. To learn more, go to laxgoalierat.com/NIL. That's laxgoalierat.com/NIL. L. You can see all the goalies I've signed. You can see more details about what specifically comes in the pack. I'm super excited about this. The virtual coaching sessions, they're going to start the last week of September. So if you're liking this opportunity, jump on it before then. LaxGoalieRat.com/NIL. Pleasure to welcome to the show, Coach Brian McCarthy. Coach Mac, welcome. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you, Damon?
Oh, just living the dream. Living the dream. Anytime you can chat lacrosse, and specifically lacrosse goalie, for 45 minutes, an hour, I think that's it. That's the dream.
Yeah. I mean, not many people focus on us too much. They just sit there and, you know, they want to pelt us more so than actually engage with us.
Exactly. Well, that's what this podcast is all about. It goes out to the goalies. We're going to have a great conversation about goalies and training goalies, and I'd love to hear all that. But before we do, you're a goalie yourself. You remember jumping in the goal for the very first time? What was that experience like?
You know, it was pretty – I don't know what it was for me jumping in goal. When I first started playing, it wasn't like I know how a lot of most players kind of start off like playing out in the field and doing all that. And I think I maybe took probably a week to 2 weeks playing field, and I kept watching our goalie, and it was kind of like, yeah, I kind of want to do that. And then just so happened to go over to Sports LA, buy a cheap stick, had my family hitting balls at me like they were baseballs instead of actual lacrosse balls. And next week my goalie quit. I got the spot, and it was like, all right, I love it here. This is where I want to be.
What was it about the position that made you say, I want to do that?
You know, growing up, I played multiple sports, you know, and one of the biggest facets of my game was always my hand-eye coordination and my reaction, which is great. And for some odd reason, I'm just naturally built as a selfless player. I'm not in it for the accolades. I'm not in it for the glory. I played football and I played receiver, but I was the guy who gets you the first down, not the touchdown. You know, like a guaranteed catch. When I played baseball, it was like I'd much rather play defense and swing the bat and try to drive in runs. I would rather prevent them from happening. You know, I had a really good glove, so it just gravitated to me. And for some odd reason, I also like getting hit with the ball. I don't know what it was, man.
Yeah, I liked just the aspect of, you know, having that spotlight. I really enjoyed that element. And I also enjoyed, like, you know, there's a certain culture in lacrosse where like the goalie's really well respected. You know, it's go hug the goalie after the game, go get the goalie. I really enjoyed that piece. And then if I'm being honest, I didn't like running that much.
Yeah, that was, you know, I mean, everybody's on that kind of that same grind, you know, like a lot of people have that mentality, like, I don't want to run as much, so I'm going to hop in there. But then they'll go like, a couple shots, the thighs and chest and arms are like, you know what, running is not that bad. So
it goes back and forth, right?
You got to have that mental thing going on up there. It's like we're all a little bit weird here in the cage in between those pipes, but it wouldn't happen any other way.
Yeah. Yeah, like you'll run until you feel like you're ready to puke, and then you're like, man, I'm running way too much as a middie. And then you get hit in the shins. You're like, oh, man, maybe I should be a middie. You know?
Yeah, it's like then you can't run. I don't have a feeling in my shins anymore. I've taken too many shots off of them. There's nerve damage there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how did you go about learning the position? It sounds like you leveraged a lot of your previous sports background. But, I mean, at that time, like, did you have some solid coaching? Or how did you, you know, when you – converted to goalie, how did you go about learning?
So when I first started playing out here in California, I mean, it was very, very, very fresh. I mean, we had maybe like four club teams kind of in the area, and it was more played at like a rec level than other sports when it came down to training. So if I didn't have a coach who's been in the field before, and that was kind of a big thing, and that was very difficult around here, it was, I would sit there and have like some old baseball teammates sit there and just like hit ground balls at me, except for all I would do was change from using my glove hand in my baseball, so my left hand, and I would transition over to my top hand in my on my stick. Yeah. So I basically wouldn't transition my into a lefty to a righty on the baseball field, and really kind of use that to work on my punching, over sweeping, under fielding ground balls, and kind of just acclimating my body to do the movements that I would typically do. But just a little bit unorthodox. Sometimes as a goalie, you got to kind of work with what you got, especially when it's hard to, shooters can go out all day and shoot on cages. It doesn't mean anything. We ain't got anybody to shoot on us. So you got to find a way, right?
Yeah. I also played, I mean, I'm also from California myself. And so I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, when I grew up, you know, my high school didn't have a team. There was maybe like, I don't even know if there was a club team, to be honest, in the Bay Area, you know, in the 90s. Yeah. And now, I mean, now it's totally growing. It's obviously, you know, years behind East Coast, as you mentioned, you know, before we hit record, but it's growing tremendously. So I played baseball growing up and I was an infielder as well. And I thought that there was a tremendous amount of similarities in the two. You know, just like from the footwork to like, you know, scoop through the ground ball, scoop through that low shot, the reaction time, tons of stuff I thought was from being a baseball, I played second base, but being a baseball infielder. Yeah.
Right there with you. I was that middle infield was awesome. And personally, I mean, I think that just kind of like one of the drills I use in here often and frequently with my goalies is a progression drill where it's literally, I will hit you ground balls and you just have to get your body behind it because your body really is your second line of defense. Like you can't always necessarily rely on your hands and your stick to be there, but if you can have at least a little bit of that second hand, you know, coverage right there to back you up, don't rely on your body to make the saves, but rely on that body to be there to kind of support a little bit more, especially on those bounce shots. Those bounce shots are very difficult, and you're not going to be lucky enough to play on turf all the time. You're going to be playing on some dead grass, and that's where it becomes extremely crucial to get your body behind it. Those hops will get you, and they will eat you alive. So,
yeah. I mean, if you can handle a bad hop on the infield, and like a lot of the fields we played on growing up, I mean, they were horrible condition.
They're terrible. Yeah.
And even playing like softball more as an adult, like same exact thing. Like, I mean, they're just like, you're playing on these concrete things with like divots everywhere. And, you know, like having to react at the last minute to a bad hop is very much the same as what you get in lacrosse.
And sometimes you can play that thing perfect and just how the grass is cut and growing, you still won't make that save.
Like, I know.
Those baseball things, like those little drills and little tips and tricks that kind of I've gotten over the years from that, from football. Like there's drills where I'll take a football and I'll literally kick onside kicks. So you learn to get your body behind at the bat, get your body behind the ball and just get there. It's just like, you got to kind of anticipate those things and those little things just to kind of make sure that your reaction is pretty fresh. And you're also just kind of getting in the right position to sit there and cover yourself as much as possible.
Yeah, 100%. And you could do all that and it could still go. I remember playing Santa Barbara and they had a grass field and there was this shot that was like a bounce shot and it hit like, you know, maybe 2 yards in front of me. Right. So I'm like expecting the bounce and it hit this divot or like hit something weird. And then it just stayed low like a worm burner. Right. So I'm expecting it to come up and it just stays low like a worm burner and goes through my legs. And you're like, all right, well, chalk that one up.
It's all, and you know what? It's always worse when you're having like one of the best games of your life and you're sitting there and you've got a shutout going and just that one piece of grass that ruins it
for you. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So yeah, love it. You know, so were there some big games you had in your high school career that really come to mind?
Big games, man. Every game was a big game for me. And it wasn't just like in the sense of like, oh, we've got like potential. It's just like I have the opportunity to play my best game today. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that may be my own worst enemy. But a lot of times, like I always looked as like today's a day where I can have a big game. And I just have to kind of keep I have to be cool, calm, collected, and just kind of do my thing. But I always looked at it as a big game because that's when like the pressure and the moment made it so much more fun for me. Was just having that opportunity to kind of see it that way, even though like there's probably teams that were going to absolutely destroy us and teams we were going to absolutely destroy it. I always treated it like a big game because I knew that unfortunately, with kind of how my team was, it was a lot of narcissists, and I was just busy quite a bit. So I always had to have a big game. Yeah. We definitely had the ego trips back then. So we've had big games. I've made big saves. It was a lot because we also didn't have a lot of people who had played before. There wasn't much experience. So right. It's tough when you got to sit there as a sophomore or junior and really kind of lead a team of, I mean, there's six of you on this team of like 70 kids, JV varsity, and six of you have played before. So now you got to sit there and not only be player, but captain, but in coach at times. So you got to have to talk and teach and also let your play do the talking a little bit too, because it comes off hypocritical if you don't kind of step your game up as well.
Yeah. A lot of goalies, maybe not a lot, but some goalies find themselves in that situation where they're on a pretty crappy team, right? And that could be really tough as a goalie because, you know, you're just getting shot on. And a lot of goalies take that burden, right? Like, oh, man, I gave up 20 goals. I should have had these saves. Or, you know, it could be easy to blame the goalie. But what, you know, if there's a goalie on a bad team, what kind of tips would you give that goalie for in that situation for, both, you know, to make the most saves, but also just up here to be strong?
So this is one of those things that I very much for a long time had to try and break. I was a very much kind of a hothead in a sense. Like I would kind of lose my cool because it would get very frustrating. And one of my coaches, I'll never forget it too, because he knows, like, he came up to me and he's like, you know, when you're just playing level-headed, you are so on top of it. You need to have that short-term memory. And one of the biggest phrases, and I teach all my players this, I teach my kids this, like my own kids, children, anybody, even kids that I was sitting there and a manager of at a restaurant, is flush it. Flush it was the best piece of advice I've ever gotten. And I mean, my coach pretty much like goes, if, and forgive my language here a little bit, he's like, well, if it pisses you off and it's a crappy situation, like, what do you do with both of those? You flush it. You don't want to sit in the toilet. You're going to end up sitting in a stinky room. Would you rather go on a clean bathroom or a pot or a porta potty? If you dwell on it, you're going to ultimately end up kind of putting yourself back, focusing on trying to correct it. So it's got to get back into like taking a deep breath, leveling yourself down, and really just hopping back in and focusing on the next one.
Yeah, that's funny that you say flush it, because that's the exact term that we used on my college team. And we even had like a little like symbol, like you're flushing a toilet, you know, and that was like the symbol of like, all right, forget about that one. Let's move on.
That helps me to this day.
Yeah, I know, right?
I got my 9-year-old stepdaughter, my 3-year-old son testing me at home, and I'm sitting there and I walk by the bathroom like, all right, Coach Hill, I got you. So it gets me.
I know. It's such a good life skill, I think. I mean, even like I do Lax Goalie Rat full time, even online business. And there's some like things that I'll do that just like, oh man, you know, that sucked. It didn't go well, right? It did not go well. And you could just sit there and dwell on it all day, or you can flush it and move on, right? And you learn from your mistakes, obviously, but you're not gonna like sit in that, you know, that toilet bowl, right? You're gonna flush it. So
that's the best way to do it. And you know, sometimes like one of the things I like to do, like when I'm in the team setting, is like I can see it eating away at my player. They're not flushing it, especially my goalie. And so I'll flush the toilet for him. You know, it's like I'll go out there at a timeout and I'm already getting the I know. Like I know what I'm doing. And then it's just like, I'm not out here to talk about that. I'm going to ask you a stupid, absurd question that's going to really throw you off guard. And you're going to look at me and be kind of dumbfounded. Next thing you know, for the next minute or two, we're having a conversation of something completely irrelevant to lacrosse, right? Yeah. Well, now me having a childish conversation with this goalie, and I've got this goalie laughing, I've got them kind of out of their own head. And next thing you know, we roll around, it's halftime. Hey, did you get your issue figured out? I'm like, yeah, you started playing like the way you can play. You got out of your own head. I didn't really have a problem or anything like that. I just wanted you to sit there and get kind of out of your own madness there for a second. So
yeah. So you mentioned when I noticed the goalie hasn't flushed it. What are you looking for? What like shows up in the goalie, you know, that that lets you know that, all right, this goalie is still holding on to previous plays.
You can almost see it in the demeanor in the play. Like, it's one of those things where, like, you can feel the tension from the goalie. You can see the tension of the goalie. One of the things I like to preach is playing relaxed, you know, being able to let go of that tension on your shoulders. There's a lot of goalies out there that I see who are very tense upstairs and in their legs. And I feel like that kind of hinders mobility from time to time. But once I see the moves becoming a little bit erratic, I can start seeing them shaking the head and really kind of getting in their own head. There's a lot of body language that you can tell when your goalie's really kind of trying to, get out of something. So one of the things is if you pay attention to their demeanor, you pay attention to their body language, you can really kind of tell, and you'll know when it's time to call a timeout and really just kind of get them out of their own head. Because sometimes just saying flush it doesn't do it, especially like when you're playing against the team that they know all those guys and they really want to kind of show out for them. You know, it's like, these are all guys I grew up playing with. I really want to have a good game.
Yeah.
And it, sometimes it just can't break it. So that's when you pull out the five-year-old immature conversation to sit there and get out of their own head.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I mean, and there's the obvious ones of banging the pipe and, you know, slumping the shoulders and exhibiting really poor body language, or maybe getting into it verbally, you know, with a teammate when they're, that's not their personality. Right. So there's those obvious ones, but I love what you said there. How would you have that sort of that conversation? I mean, like, what, you know, what are we talking about? What do 5-year-olds talk about? I don't have a 5-year-old.
Well, I'll give an example. I mean, it is going to be unorthodox. I am kind of an unorthodox coach, but there was a time where we called timeout and one of my goalies, he's getting in his own head, and so he sit there, walk up, and I just go to him. He's like, hits me with the I know, and it's like, nah, I got a question for you. I was like, I'm having an issue downstairs, like I got to scratch my butt, but I don't want your parents or anybody seeing it. What's a subtle way to do it where nobody's going to notice me digging in my pants or using my stick or sliding awkwardly on the bench? He's like, well, I don't know, where is this coming from? I'm like, well, I don't want to embarrass myself. You don't want to see me digging in my pants.
Yeah.
Go on with that conversation. It's pretty stupid, pretty simple, pretty easy, but he's kind of caught off guard and dumbfounded. Timeout's over, goes back out there. He's out of his own head. He makes 6 straight saves that are ridiculous, comes over at halftime. Hey, did you figure out your problem? I'm like, yeah, you got it back together. You're good.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's a great example. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think a lot of times when goalies don't make the save, it's because they're too tense. And you can see it, like, you know, as you get nervous for a shot, like they really tense up, and that makes it so you can't move. And sometimes you'll see like these insanely good saves after the whistle. Why? Whistle blows, they relax, right? And now maybe the guy shoots it when he's not supposed to. And you just make this easy save because you're so relaxed. I don't know if you've ever seen an example of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just like being relaxed is huge in my books. I mean, so I like to work on a lot of, while I'm training here and I'm working with my goalies, breathing techniques, like while the shot's going on, having slow, consistent, methodic breaths throughout the whole process.
Yeah.
It makes it 10 times easier and trying to really be dumb. I tell all my players, and for some odd reason, goalies these days are just way too damn smart for their own good. I've worked with some 4.0, 4.5 kids, and I'm just like, hey, listen, you're at school for 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours a day. Now's the time to be the dog from up. You need to be Doug, and just instead of squirrel, ball. Just sit there from the breathing and being relaxed. And then when they actually start applying it, you see it click. They just sit there, and next thing you know, it's like, oh, ball, boom, done. And then you get over it. But when you've got that tension, you've got that hard, like, stiff pose, you only get over so far. But if you relax kind of those elbows and really just focus on the breathing and the consistency, you're able to actually maneuver and get your arms and legs over a lot quicker and move more naturally instead of forced.
Yeah, 100% agree. What are there specific, like talking about the breathing, are there specific exercises that goalies can do at home? Or is it just more like this is how you breathe and be more mindful of it as you're playing, or are there specific like drills, exercises you do?
So I try to apply it a lot in our one-on-one sessions and try to tell them to try and utilize it as much as possible at practice and just really focusing on ball and breathing throughout the process, slow it down.
Yeah.
I say it's almost like if you watch, like, let's say American Sniper, right? Or any sort of war movie where they focus on the sniper. I tell my goalies, I'm like, listen, you've seen those. Watch how they're breathing and slowing it down, lowering their adrenaline, right? When they're lowering adrenaline, nerves become a lot calmer, smoother, slows things down, they get off a clean shot. That's what you want to do at the same time, because the more you slow it down, the better you're going to see it. You keep the focus, you slow your breathing, you control it. You're not going to wear yourself down as quick as well. So it's almost like you're honing in, focusing in, and that thing's, that box starts getting smaller, 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 right to where you want it. And then you've got your eyes all set on it. And then just as you're breathing, feeling more and more tension come off the shoulders and your legs, so you're able to get moving.
Yeah, it's so common that, like, especially if the goalie's got pregame jitters or something like that, that, like, you've entered into this phase where your breaths are just so shallow. And you don't even realize it, right? Shallow and quick, right? And that gets you all jumpy. And it's like just having that, like, mindset, or just knowing that, all right, like, I need to take a deep breath. And actually, you know, when I train goalies too, like, the part of the reset routine of when they give up a goal, like, first step, deep breath, right? It's the breath is so important, and learning how to really breathe deeply, crucial for goalies.
Just decompress and let it go. It's like, it's so tough. It's so tough because I have this conversation with a lot of my goalies, and this is not every, I'm not saying every goalie is like this, and I hope every goalie starts to kind of get out of this phase too. But I put on these clinics, and I ask my players, my semi-privates, privates, my clinics, I ask every single goalie, I'm like, all right, well, how many of you actually come out here and feel like you're part of the reason you won the game? And I can tell you right now, I've asked this question for about 15 years now. I've seen less than 10 hands go up. But if I ask them, how many of you feel like you're the reason you lost the game? Everybody's hand goes up almost every single time. So that's why it's like one of those things where it's so, we got to get better at coaching the decompression of the goalie and to get them out of their own head. Because at the end of the day, yes, we're not physically exerting ourselves as much as, let's say, our midfielders, our defense, our attack, but we have a lot harder mental game that we have to focus on when it comes down to it. At the end of the day, we have the weight of the world in our team on our shoulders. So it's about coaching these goalies to get out of their own head and really kind of keep their body and their mind moving in the right direction. Really kind of teaching comfort and confidence, and not necessarily, criticizing too much and being too overly critical. Goalies need a lot more support than a lot of the coaches out here are giving them credit for.
They need a lot of support. I do find that that is the overwhelmingly common mindset as well, is like the goalies blame themselves. I mean, one of the reasons I think is because an error by the goalie is directly on the scoreboard, right? An error by the attackman is not. Attackman shoots and misses misses an open goal. Right? That doesn't go on the scoreboard. That should be a goal.
No, absolutely not. No.
Yeah. It's like our errors go right on the scoreboard. And so I think that's like, you know, a lot of people put pressure on the goalie and that, like, oh, if he could have made that save, then yeah, like we would have prevented a goal, of course. But there's so many other things. Like if the attackman didn't lose it, if the midi rode harder, if the one slide, two, you know, so many things that need to happen before the goal gets given up.
Direct spotlight of our mistakes are on this, end up on the scoreboard. You're absolutely right. And one of the biggest things is, even though we have that system of that, but we're actually going to be our biggest critics. We are going to be the hardest on ourselves. It doesn't matter if our teammates sit there and blame us. It's not going to sit there if a parent or if a coach blames us. We're going to be the hardest people on ourselves.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest. Every goalie wants to go out game day and pitch a shutout, but the realistic aspect of it is you'll get a shutout from time to time, very few and far between, but it's possible. But you gotta have to learn to let that go, and you're gonna have to learn that you're not always gonna come into contact with these incredible games. Sometimes you're gonna have off days, and the process is you have to get out of that mindset of like, I'm screwing it up, because it doesn't matter. Sometimes you're going to have those goals where you wish you had back. Shit, I got goals that I think about from 15 to 20 years ago that I let up. I'm like, damn it. Like, that was like a 3-goal game where we lost 7-6 that day. And then there's some times where you play super terrible and like it's halftime and it's like 6-0 and there's 12-0 and you're just like, I should have had so much more, but we hold ourselves to a high standard, you know? And that's the thing, is that we want to be the best at what we're doing. And that's competitive nature, but you feel like you're letting your team down, and that's the hardest part. And that's not what you want to do. You don't want to let your team, your coaches, your fans, get that down. So then you end up getting a little bit harder on yourself ultimately at the end of the day.
Yep. That's funny that you mentioned you still think about goals that you've given up. Cause when you said that, I was like, yeah, there's like a handful of goals that I could tell you from my playing days 20 years ago that I'm like, oh man, I wish I would have made that save. Like specific plays come back to mind.
Oh yeah. And sometimes it's like I tell more stories about the goals I gave up than the saves that I've had that were absolutely ridiculous, that there's no reason I should have had that save.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I've got like 30 of those that I could sit there and reel off, but I'm listing off like 15 to 20 goals that I let up like 8 times a day that just still bother me. And it was from, again, like 20 years ago.
I know. That's awesome. They stick with you, goalies. But anyway, so right after high school, then you went right into coaching. Yeah. And at that point, you know, were you coaching goalies right away?
So I was just coaching team, you know, and like my area of focus has always been on goalies and defense. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer that anytime I go into a team and I'm coaching a team, that I have to support those goalies, because right off the bat, my big thing is comfort from a goalie's perspective leads to confidence. So I like to collaborate with my goalies quite a bit. I usually end up in the goalie and defensive realm. So one of the big things I do is I ask my goalies where they like to see their shots from and how they like their defense to play. Because at the end of the day, if I can teach that defense to, if you're going to give up that shot, because just like goalies, I know you don't want to give up a shot, but you're going to. You at least give up the shots that our keeper wants to see. And if you play the style of defense that they want to play, that's going to lead them to playing more comfortable, which ultimately leads them to playing more confident. And confidence is key when it comes down to being in the goalie position, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm seeing the shots I want to see all day that I'm confident in, I'm going to make those saves. And I'm going to be playing clean and well. Now, if I'm starting to see the shots that are going to be getting in tight or bothering me and that I'm not so good at, that's when I'm gonna start getting frustrated, getting in my own head, digging myself a deep hole, and then kind of falling behind the eight ball. And then I start letting up those little patty cake goals that I shouldn't be letting up. So it's a lot of collaborating. So I've done that. And then I started focusing quite a bit on defense and goalies, and then moving on up until probably the last year, I've moved strictly into the private and semi-private realm.
Mm-hmm. How do you, If a goalie says, these are the shots I want to see, and I imagine for most goalies, that answer is pretty similar, right? I mean, you prefer the outside shots. I mean, maybe some goalies prefer, like, I like to see it from the left side versus the right side. But if you were going to do like a little heat map, I imagine most of the goalies would be the same. But I guess the question I have is, you know, how do you coach the defense that these are the shots that we want to give up?
So a lot of people don't understand, and like, because I work with every position, I've been doing this for so long, but in with goalie perspective, I can tell you, you know, what works, what doesn't, especially if you like kind of pay attention. But the shot map usually looks the same. Like every goalie, if you're going to sit there and shoot a 20 yard shot, they're going to sit there and eat it up. But I will tell my defense every single day, if you are giving up those shots and he's letting up those goals, I will not yell at you. That's where we want it to come from. You
sure
don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But like, for instance, like one of the big things for me is like perimeter shooting. So it's like, I'd rather get the shots from far out wide or put them at the angles. Like if you put them close to GLE and I can cut down that angle and it's a good angle for me, great. Keep those shots. If you're going to let up shots in the middle of the field, make them further out, because you got to think about it. If we're standing in cage, I'm not a very big gentleman. Look at all this that we have to shoot at already, right? Mm-hmm. If this is our goal. Mm-hmm. So if I can sit there and cut that angle down a little bit so I can only give up like right here, that's what we're kind of going for. So what we do is we teach the defense to position themselves and focus. So I like to teach a lot of footwork, teaching footwork to cutting down body angles and body recognition. I'm sure you've seen it. For some odd reason, everybody's got this ego trip that wants to play body out at the number 40 on the field and then get an ankle broken and we're man down and in transition. So,
yeah. Yeah, I coached a youth team in Berkeley and all of the long poles, like, you know, love to throw checks and no one loved to play body as a youth because it's fun to just throw that lumber. But, you know, that was kind of the first thing, right? All right, let's drop the sticks.
Because out here, like, they never want to throw a check. You know, the amount of times I've had to scream, you have a 6-foot pole, use it. Mm. Like, get on their hands. Like, if you harass hands, harass elbows, let them make the shots and passes difficult to get off. Like, we can get a ball back in transition real quick if you use this. So,
yeah, make them uncomfortable. Make them uncomfortable. Exactly. I remember our head coach at Cal was trying to teach that point, and there's this defender who we called Beast. It was his nickname, and he goes, "Beast, would you like me to poke check you in the ribs 6 times right now?" And he's like, "No." He's like, "Right, all right, well, make it uncomfortable." Yeah, exactly. Make them uncomfortable. That's awesome. Well, cool. So then they sort of transition then into training goalies more full time as of late. You know, how do you? I guess what's your goalie training philosophy? If someone comes to you as like a brand new, youth goalie, 12, 13, just, you know, around there, like how do you go about training that goalie?
We build a base. I've got to evaluate. I've got to build a base. I'm very big at taking past experiences and applying them.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a lot easier. It's hard to teach something straight from scratch, but if you can have a correlation with something that they've done in the past, it really kind of helps. So like, that's what helped me in my process. For instance, the fielding the ground balls in baseball and stuff like that was a good way at how I learned to get better low. So doing stuff like that and correlating it to a previous experience that they had and then building on something that they already had knowledge of and kind of relating it into moving into the process. And then as they grow, obviously we start making it a little bit more complicated and start getting into a lot more of a difficult training regimen and working on like the higher level saves, higher level positioning. I'm big on positioning angles, but at the same time, like not, like I've got two things that I have like kind of bugaboos with, and I teach the arc, but I don't teach the arc strongly. I feel that a lot of kids these days are very robotic, so they'll stick to every single step in the arc. So it's about 4 steps, 5 points, and they'll stick to those spots, which then they get kind of their positioning off. They're not worrying about drop steps and keeping shoulders and hips square. Form, I want a comfortable form. I correct only maybe 2 things, having our feet pointed out for a better push off and keeping our hands below chin so we don't drop our hands. So it's really finding comfort and finding something that relates to them so that it clicks a lot quicker than having to figure it out something new, you know? So
yeah,
we try to relate it to something that they're familiar with. So it happens and it's a lot clearer for them.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's a great tip. So it's like a conversation before to figure out what they do know, right? If they played infielder baseball, then, you know, that's it. If they're maybe a linebacker, like this is how you do your stance. If they're a wrestler, like, you know, I think a lot of at least the way I do this, the low saves is very similar to like a shot, you know, they take a single leg shot. So, you know, yeah, I love that. And they already know that movement. They already know that how their body needs to move, how their body needs to set up. And so you're not teaching anything new. It's just a different context.
Yeah, we got to, I like to, again, it's a lot easier when you have the opportunity to where there's already a base to kind of correlate for them to relate to, where it's like, oh, I've done something similar. I can go, you know, compared to like, well, how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
So it's always helps out quite a bit.
Yeah. I know you're big on the mental game too. Like at what point then do you start sprinkling in those mental game lessons and like, you know, we talked about the flush it, but I'd love to hear more mental game lessons if you got them.
So it comes down to every single time I train, I'm supportive in the sense of like, let it go. Like, you're gonna let up shots regardless. Like I said earlier, every goalie wants a shutout. You're not gonna get it. Like, trust me, I would have loved to have a shutout every single game of my goalie career.
Yeah.
I could have given up 16, 17, 18 goals. Like, it's not gonna happen. Like, I love you to death. I hope somebody can end up doing that with their career, but giving up shots is okay.
Right.
That's a stop. Okay, like, it's gonna happen. It's gonna be okay. But as long as there's progress throughout these sessions, you're here to get better. You're here putting in the work. This is something you should be confident in. You should be proud of this, even when you have your bad days. And if you have your bad days and you're on your own head, we take 5 minutes and we just have a chat, right? So we're getting rid of those tough feelings and those things that are kind of overwhelming us and burying us, and just get it out of our head and get back into our rhythm. If I sit here working with a kid for an hour and they're giving up shots, I'm not going to be like, you shouldn't be living up any goals. You should be on top of it.
Right.
It's okay. It's fine. It's going to happen. Your body is going to move naturally. Sometimes you're not going to think and you're going to do something incorrect, and that's okay. But let's try to continue to work on making it second nature to where that happens fewer and fewer and fewer times. Right.
Right.
So mistakes are going to happen, and they're going to constantly happen in life. And this isn't just on the field. This is going to happen in every aspect of your life. So we need to teach people that it's okay to make mistakes and to just let them go and move forward. Because if you dwell on these mistakes, that's where you're going to start putting your focus into 15 different other spots. You start focusing on one thing to correct. Okay, well, now you're going to do something wrong in the next rep. Then you're now focusing on two different things. Well, I got to do this, and I screwed up on this last time. All right, well, now you're screwing up on something else. Now you're at three, and it kind of builds and builds and builds until we can sit there and tell you to forget it, or you do forget it and get back in your rhythm and play in the game that you know how to play. You'll always end up trying to overcompensate for something else, therefore digging yourself a deeper hole and getting you out of focus and trying to correct something that may not even really need to be corrected in the first place.
One of the things that I always like to ask is, if there's a goalie going through a slump, because it happens to every single goalie out there, right? What do you tell that goalie?
Take time. Go do the things that you enjoy doing. Get out of your own head. It's the amount of people that I've worked with in the private realm that have gone through those slumps, and the guys that I've worked at from a coaching perspective, it's don't think about it. You've got to get out. You got to get your mind off of it. And especially if you've got the opportunity to kind of take some time to yourself to go do things that are not lacrosse related.
Yeah.
As much as like, I love the game, when I would slump, it's like, all right, now I want to go do something that I'm not going to focus on this. I need to get back in my rhythm. I need to get back to feeling right. And that's the thing, is you sit there and you compartmentalize it and kind of hide in a room and think about it and think about it and think about it. It's, again, it goes back to that flush it. You have to let it go, because you're going to take that into the next practice. And it was like, I was terrible in these aspects of the game. I've been terrible. I'm going to focus on this and focus on this, focus on this. And then you end up getting stuck and making mistakes elsewhere. And but there's so much on your mind, it doesn't click, that you just need to take a step back and completely reset. So find the way to get to that point where you can reset, so you can get back in your rhythm and finding your groove and your rhythm and get back to being comfortable and confident. If you're uncomfortable and dwelling on it, it's only going to make it worse. So you got to get into that flush. You got to get to that flush it point and get back in the right headspace.
Yep. Love it. Yeah. I was talking to one goalie. It's exactly what he did. He liked to surf. Right. And so he said he went surfing a bunch of times when he was in a slump. And then, you know, all of a sudden, like, he's feeling better, right? And even, like, if you could do something physical, I think that's even better than, you know, video games or something like that, which may work as well, having fun. But anyway, you know, he did this physical act. He's out there. He's feeling good. And then guess what? He gets back on the lacrosse field. It's fun. He's loose, relaxed. He's good up here mentally. He's ready to go.
And he's let go of the stuff that's plaguing him and ailing him, you know? And that's the big thing is, I mean, and that, again, concept you can apply to life. Like, if your job, your girlfriend, your friends are making you irritated, take some space, take some time to get your head right so you can approach a situation in a better manner.
Yeah. I love it. What are some other common issues either, you know, technique wise or just mental wise that you see that you're constantly having to correct in the goalies that you work with?
Honestly, improper coaching. I mean, yeah. And not to discredit like any coaches or anything like that, but it's really tough when you don't have a goalie coach on your team. And you don't have a coach, because a lot of what I've noticed out here over the years is it's a very offensive minded coaching system. We want to score goals, but possession wins games. And if you're hard on a goalie and you're telling a goalie, like, it's very tough. A lot of coaches out here are former midfielders, forward attack, and they're criticizing these goalies and teaching them incorrect form and are a lot harder on themselves. So when they come in here, it's like, well, my coach is telling me this, and they're telling me I'm coughing up too many rebounds, or I'm doing this wrong and I'm doing this wrong. It's like, okay, well, ask your coach if he's ever thrown on any pads, hopped in cage and eaten these shots, mm-hmm. You know? So at the end of the day, they end up they want to impress their coaching staff for their team. But then by doing that, they're listening to what they're telling them. But these are the same coaches who've never been in the same shoes. So they're trying to get pointers, which then ends up leading to kind of an incorrect form. And then there's that just kind of mental aspect of, now I'm confused. Like, do I listen to my goalie coach or do I listen to my coach? Because my coach might bench me for this other kid who may be playing hotter right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that a lot of times too, not that it's bad technique, although that does happen. It's more like they don't know how to train the goalies, and so they just wail on them. I've seen that quite a bit. And then then the kid doesn't want to play goalie anymore. Right? Which makes sense, because when you're, you know, 13 years old and you're just like getting pelted, it's not fun. And nope. there are ways that you can make lacrosse goalie training very fun. And getting pelted with shots is not it.
To be honest, from the coach's perspective, there's just got to be a lot more support from the team aspect, you know, in the sense of like not so much criticism, but actually asking your goalie, like, what do they need? Like, what do they need at practice? What do they need at games? What kind of support do they need? Like, what can I do to help you get back into that comfort? Again, comfort leads to confidence. Confidence is what helps the goalies the most, right? Once they start second-guessing themselves, you're going to see problems. And when you criticize them, they're going to second-guess themselves even more, dig themselves a deeper hole, and you'll watch play diminish. So what you have to do is you have to have that open line of communication with really any of your players, but your goalies especially. Like, having that little time to, you know, improvise and collaborate together to where you can sit there and have a system that's going to be beneficial for your goalies, mm-hmm. That's going to help. There's no question about that. And working together is how you do it. You can't just be, I'm coach, I'm right. Like, I'm coaching a kid and they're like, I don't like the way you're coaching. It's not helping me. It's not benefiting me. I'm not learning and I'm not growing. All right, cool. I want to hear that so I can get the best out of you. And let's figure out the way on how to do that. If I have to change that, every kid's different. Every player is different. Some need to be yelled at. Some need to be talked to. Some people need to be spoon-fed and handed it, you know? Yeah. So, but we have to figure out how to get the best out of them. And with goalie, I think that's the most important, because our game's the biggest mental one, not the most physical, other than getting pelted with the ball.
Yeah, totally. It's like, you got to learn the techniques and reaction time, and there's some physical elements to it. But like, once a goalie like gets confidence mentally, it's like, that's when you see this exponential growth in their game, right?
Oh yeah. It's like, then it all becomes fun. And it's like, oh, this isn't that hard. I don't have to run like 50 yard, like gassers, like all day. Like, right.
Yeah. You put out a message, on your Instagram, you know, talking about goalie mental health, which is different than the mental game related, but I think a little bit different. And just saying, hey, I'm here. Like, if you guys need anything at all, I'm here. And I also echo that message to anybody listening to this. But I want to say thank you for doing that. That's awesome. And talk to me a little bit about, you know, where you're coming from with that.
Again, it just comes back with that thought process of like, when it comes down to a goalie is the most selfless position. We do anything for our teammates. We put our body on the line every single day, and these shots, they don't feel good. But we'll do anything, again, with no real requirement of like glory. It's not a luxurious position. We don't get all the accolades on the face of the planet. Some people will be like, you had a great game and you helped us win, but we don't necessarily feel like that. But this stuff is, it's tolling. Yeah. And kind of like on some of the other notes that I've touched on earlier, there have been times where I've sat there and have cried after a game, like so frustrated with myself that it's put me in a dark space. And I take it out on friends and family and stuff like that. And it didn't matter how much support I was getting, but it also doesn't help when the people that are talking to you aren't in the same position or aren't in the same shoes or haven't been. So it's, you sometimes just need somebody that understands where you're at and where you've been, and what you're going through. And that's the biggest thing, is then it's like you feel a little bit more confident because there's an understanding. And one of the things that I like to also preach is that, like, listen, especially in the age of like middle school through high school, these kids aren't going to listen to their parents. You know, like, we've all done it. We've all been defiant towards our parents. It's just what we naturally do. Our parents do the same thing. So sometimes they just need that extra bit of attention that is somebody who is not mom or dad or family, that just wants their best interest and is someone that they can talk to and feel confident in, that they trust to point them in the right direction and give them a guidance and just vent and not be judgmental. And that's one of the big things with goalies, is like, we're already our biggest like critics. We just need somebody who's been there and understands it and that can help us kind of get out of a funk and make sure that we don't carry it outside the field and really not dig ourselves a deeper hole. Because if we let this pressure build up from just lacrosse, like, we also have other things going on in life that end up like also interfering and can really kind of drop us down into like a very mentally tough spot to get out of.
Yep. Yeah. And if you just sit with that and dwell on it, and like, it just eats you up. And I think even the process of just talking to someone and explain to someone how you're feeling, like, whether or not they're like, they know what you're going, I think just even that process is like very therapeutic, just like getting it out there. And sometimes you hear it as you're saying it and you're like, oh, that's not so bad. Right. You know? So, Sometimes, you know, when you do talk to someone who's been through it and they say, oh, I've been through it, you come to this realization that like, it's going to pass. When you're in a slump or when you're feeling bad, right? It's like it feels like it's never going to go away. I'm never going to get out of this slump. I'm never going to feel better. But you know, life is kind of like, has its ups and downs. And when you're in one of the downs, like, just know that it's okay. Like, sit with it, right? And know that it will pass.
Ride the wave. Try not to let the wave topple you over.
There you go.
And a lot of the big thing, too, is that, like, when you got, again, that middle school to high school range, like, it's not just, like, it's everything. Like, that's the toughest phase of our lives because hormones, we're finding out what they are.
Yeah.
Puberty. We're right through that rebellious age. And then we've got that, like, for some odd reason, that drive to be accepted by everybody, to be cool, to be well-liked and all that, and to have a good perception of ourselves and people perceive us in such a way that it ends up just piling more stuff on a plate. And you're going to overstuff yourself to the point where you pop and you snap. And we can't get to that point because that's where a lot of people end up just losing it. Mm-hmm. And it sucks because, like, I've seen so many kids with so much potential just lose it because they overwhelm themselves and they overthink it, overanalyze it, and just bury themselves in so much on their shoulders. And that's why it's like, let it go. Come talk to me, let it go. We can be complete strangers, but if you want to sit there, lay out every word in the book, every swear word, just to get it off your chest, and nobody's going to judge you. Trust me, I won't judge you. We're good. I will let you let out, say what you want. If you need any advice, I'll give you the advice I can offer. And what's worked for me and what's not, just as something to try. And if not, we can always work together on something that may work out better for you, you know? But at the end of the day, let's take a little bit off that plate, alleviate some of that stress, that anger, aggression, or just things that's like really kind of putting you back. And let's alleviate it so that you can have that clearer headspace to move forward. That's a big thing. Eventually, this will be over for you. But life goes on.
That's right. Coach Mack, thank you so much. That seems like a good spot to leave it. I don't know, anything, any other stories or any other things that you really wanted to mention that we didn't get to?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to do a couple things. One, I wanted to just kind of say to my guy that I grew up watching was Matt Russell. That guy was an icon to me. And if he ever gets an opportunity to see this, I want to just let him know that, like, you paved the way for me. And I very much appreciate that. Definitely being around the same stature, it was super cool to kind of, he gave me a lot of drive knowing that I can kind of do this and I can play big, even though I'm not very big. And he was awesome. I absolutely loved watching him. He was electric. And then most importantly, I wanted to thank Nick Tennell, Athlete's Choice. He's opening up the lacrosse barn in Texas. If you guys ever get an opportunity to take a look over at that facility that he's working on, Nick took a shot on me, and it's been so awesome because that guy's changed the game in the style of coaching. I've become a better goalie coach, defensive coach, offensive coach, just because being around him. I get to see what he's teaching these kids every single day. And he's got such talented players in here. I get to see the shots, the moves. He's teaching quite a bit of offense. So I get to see all this kind of stuff that helps me elevate my coaching for my goalies. And again, I wouldn't be anywhere near as successful and as good as what I do without that guy. And again, I really appreciate him taking a shot on me and really kind of paving the way and teaching me and showing me things along the road as well. So
love it.
And yep. Then David, thank you. Thank you for having me on and giving me a minute here.
Of course. You know, of course. I'm of the philosophy that you can never learn too much. You know, I've been doing this for so many years, but every episode, every conversation that I have with goalies and goalie coaches, like, still learn something new, or even just like a new way to phrase something. The thing I'm taking away the most, that I love the most, is that conversation with the 5-year-old. Hey, I got to scratch my butt, but I want people to notice.
That was actually a high schooler, believe it or not, but it was like a 5-year-old's like,
Right. The converse. Anyway.
Sometimes just being immature and getting back to acting childish, especially in the heat of the moment, really kind of settles the situation and just clears that head just enough to like snap back into the mode that they're capable of.
Yep. Love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'll shoot Matty Russell an email. I had him on the podcast. He's an awesome guy. And I also idolized his play as well. I'm only 5'8" myself. So he was like right in our realm of, you know, quick, athletic, all over the field, trying to knock over big attackmen. I love to watch him play.
I emulated his play. I was to the point where I was overly aggressive. Like, I'll give up 3-4 goals quick, but I'll lay out those attackmen. They don't want to come in tight anymore. And I start seeing the shots I want because I'm like getting hit. Matt was an icon, and he had such a huge impact on my game. I'm 5'7", and in high school I was 5'4". So like watching what that guy did, hopping on the back of like 6'2" players, weaving around people, making these acrobatic saves. And he's doesn't even cover the whole pipe. Yeah. So it was like that guy showed me that I can do it too. And I can do it just as good. It's super awesome when you get a guy like that, especially when you're kind of in those shoes where it's like, I'm not one of these freak human beings who's been gifted size. And you know. So
yeah,
that's man.
Awesome. Well, Coach, where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about you? Is it Instagram?
Yeah, find me on Instagram. So find me. I don't even know my Instagram right now.
Coach, I got it right here. Coach_Mac_90. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You can find me on Instagram. Shoot me any messages. Like I said, I'm so open to conversations, just to chat. Get whatever's on your mind off. If you're looking for training, obviously I provide that as well. Yep. But just talk to me, reach out, especially if you're in a spot where it's like you're just trying to kind of break through some things, and you know, if you need help on just kind of clearing the head, that's the big thing at the end of the day. So I want to be able to help out in every way possible, and sometimes for those people who are out in, let's say, New York, I can't help you. I'm 3,000 miles away. Like, I can't train you or anything, but I can still hold the conversation with you. And I can find, so I can try and find some help out there for you too. So,
yeah. 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 I mean, the lacrosse goalie community and network is small, but it's tight. So yeah, I mean, reach out. There's very few goalies out there who will not help you.
They won't. Yeah. No one's going to not engage. We know what it's like. That's the biggest thing, is just having an avenue to speak to somebody who knows, you know, is always so much more helpful. It's like, I'm not going to sit there and my stepdad's not going to talk to me about how to work on cars because he knows I don't know how. So we don't have that, but you know, so it helps when you got somebody who's been down that road, you know, and can kind of give you either some guidance or some understanding or just willing to listen. So if you guys ever need anything, just find me on Instagram. And I train out of a facility out here in Rancho Santa Margarita. I travel around a little bit too to help out. So just reach out, even if it's a phone call or something, email. Let's talk.
Love it. Coach Mac, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, David. Have a good one.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. That was Coach Mac, Brian McCarthy, located in Southern California. Some awesome, awesome insights. Apologies for the audio glitches. A couple times we cut out, but I think you got the gist of the conversation. Hopefully you learned a thing or two that you can take into your own lacrosse goalie game. Thank you so much to Coach Mac for coming on the show. You can give him a follow on Instagram, Coach_Mac, MAC_90, Coach Mac 90. Great guy, and a great conversation. That'll do it this week on the Lax Goalie Rat podcast. We'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, check out the college goalie training packs we're putting on. You can check it out at laxgoalierat.com/college. I've sponsored 17 goalies, and this week and last week as well, we're doing the virtual coaching sessions, which is just one piece of the college goalie training pack. It comes with 5 different training elements, live virtual coaching sessions, diving deep on one particular topic of the lacrosse goalie position. They've been awesome. They've been so much fun. So hopefully you've been attending those. Hopefully you're signed up. LaxGoalierat.com/college will get you there. In the meantime, get out there, get some work in, do well and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.